Meow.
When I get there, maybe I'll be happy if I leave here. Maybe I'll be happy if I love you. Maybe I'll be happy when I'm finally done. Maybe I'll be happy with Vicky. Maybe I'll be happy with Maggie. Maybe I'll be happy with Michelle. Maybe I'll be happy with myself right now. I'm singing quietly on the Freedom Demons because my wife is asleep. I don't want to sing at the top of my lungs when she's in the other room. And I guess that's what happens to old punk rockers. We get married and... But, you know, if I sang at the top of my lungs, she would not come in and yell at me, which is why she's a good wife. It's actually a story. Hi, Diana Kyler. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good, good. That's Diana Kyler. My name is, well, my name's not important. It's just my message that's important. So
that's right.
There's actually a book called, we're going to talk about punk rock tonight.
Yay.
And even if you don't like punk rock, there might be something good in here for you. Because we're talking about modes of rebellion and how they all end up being conservative in their own way. And yeah, there's a book by Iggy Pop. It's his autobiography. Actually, it's his, it's an openly ghost-written autobiography, which is kind of weird. It's basically, I think Jan Werner wrote it, the publisher of Rolling Stone. It was basically like, Jan went to Iggy Pop and said, you should write an autobiography. And Iggy's like, I don't know what it is. and Jan Werner's like, well, let me interview you and then I'll write it and we'll put both our names on it. And he's like, okay. And so I guess it was some, powdered espresso fueled 3-day no sleep kind of recording session, talking session. And yeah.
What's the name of the book?
It has the most appropriate name for a rock and roll biography I've ever read. The book by Iggy Pop is called I Need More.
That is very appropriate.
It's very appropriate for rock and roll, and it's very appropriate for Iggy Pop too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I Need More.
More.
Just more everything. And yeah, it's
more,
a really good book.
More and free.
Well,
and yours.
I don't know. I think, no. I don't think Iggy.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Iggy didn't want it. No, he earned it, man. He earned it.
I'm just thinking about drug addicts and alcoholics.
Yeah, but he was making money. Some. I mean, there's one story in that book about the first time he ever got any, you know, amount of money over a handful of money. When he got paid $3,000 for something early on in his career. And he said he went into a bank to cash the check and he'd been up for like 5 days and you could smell him from a half block away. And everyone in the bank was just like, who is the, what is this? Yeah. So
he had a shirt on at least, probably, I hope.
Probably picked one up out of the gutter on the way in so they'd let him in the bank. Yeah. They should have. I wonder if like check cash. I've used check cashing places, but I'm kind of thinking like, you know, when you go into a nice restaurant, but you don't have a tie, like the crappy tie they lend you. I've told the story a few times, but I have a Derringer.
Those little tiny guns.
Yeah, it's a 2-shot .22.
Yeah,
and I actually like it because I can be armed anywhere in the house with it. You know, sometimes I just like hold it in my hand, pointing straight down when I go to the bathroom or go to the basement or whatever, you know. It's, I call it my garden gun. You know, it's the, they say a handgun, you know, the people who are rifle people who know rifles and know the power of a rifle, the power and accuracy and distance ability of a rifle over a handgun say that, you know, a sidearm, a handgun is to fight your way back to your rifle. Well, the Derringer is the gun to fight your way back to your handgun.
Back to your gun.
To your handgun. Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. Iggy Pop, punk rock. We're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about this article in Reason magazine, and we're going to talk about a movie called Another State of Mind, which is a punk rock documentary made in about 1983 that I haven't seen since 1986 or 1987 and watched again the other night, and you watched it.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about something that'll be interesting, I think, to anybody, whether they're libertarians who aren't into punk rock, or whether they're people who are into punk rock, or whether they're people who are not libertarians and are not punk rockers, just to show you how there are internal scene-specific beefs in every scene in the world.
Right. There's always going to be people that say you have to do it this way in order to be, you know, authentic. So
yeah, to be true.
Right.
You know, there's actually a saying in alternative love styles. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the male or the female, but the, you know, the kind that can be between a man and a woman that, might involve, I don't want to get too prurient on the radio, but, you know, let's just say, what's a good word for it? I'm talking about kink. Okay. In kink.
Kink. There you go.
there's not so much an argument of like, you know, that person's true or that person's true at it, or, you know, is the real deal. It's more like on an individual level. And generally when someone comes into a forum or a chat room that's dedicated to that kind of stuff and calls themselves a true dom or true dominant, people generally immediately assume that that's like someone who has no experience with it. And they're just kind of make, you know, like, oh, huh, I'm on the internet, I'm talking to ladies, you know? And it's actually like,
they read like 50 Shades of Grey. So now they're an expert.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually a term that's used in that world by people who are true, but don't have to say it just because people know they are. They call those people twoo, T-W-U-E.
Twoo.
Twoo. Yeah. I think there's a lot of twoo libertarians out there. We watched some, you know, you can kind of figure out whether someone's a twoo libertarian or not by like how they handle themselves and how they generally like how they deal in their businesses, how they deal with other people, what their reputation is. And it's really weird too, because libertarianism seems to be entirely based on this idea of like this good idea, which is that you don't need government regulatory bodies, you know, to determine whether somebody, you know, provides good business services or, you know, deals ethically with others, that, you know, things like Consumer Reports would replace that, and the Better Business Bureau, which is private, it's not government.
Reputation systems.
Yeah, and Angie's List. But as soon as you criticize another libertarian for something that's a legitimate criticism, people jump on you often and say like, yeah, you're ruining the movement. And I'm like, no, man, I'm helping the movement.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with us criticizing each other, you know?
Yeah. But like,
we can take it. We can take the criticism that we feel will help us and use it to change. I mean, you know, just be open-minded.
Take what you want and leave the rest.
Leave the rest. Yeah.
So let's see. What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about this brief history of conservative and libertarian punk rock?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that article because it mainly focuses on that one band that's kind of more
agnostic
conservative.
Front. Yeah.
Yeah, Agnostic Front. They're more kind of pro Reagan and anti, you know.
Yeah, man. Well, it just really shows to me what Reason's true colors are. And I know that one of the guys who founded Reason, overall, I'm glad Reason magazine exists. I call it, Nima Vedati and I used to call it Beltway libertarians, you know, like libertarians that want to live inside the Beltway of Washington, D.C. and kind of be like on the edge of politics, but not really. But it's kind of like, it's kind of your dad's libertarianism, you know, or your grandpa's libertarianism at this point. But, you know, what's the guy from who wrote this article? It's got to be the main guy, the one that was at Porkfest. What's his name?
This is Damon Root.
I don't know who that is, but the other guy, the main guy, one of the main guys, the leather jacket guy.
I know who you're talking about, and for some reason, I just am spacing on his name right now. Nick Gillespie?
Yeah. Yeah, he was into punk rock back in the day, or he says he was, and you know, he wears a leather jacket. He still looks kind of punk rock, and he's kind of a good-looking guy. He's kind of like, you know, James Dean businessman or something, James Dean-type businessman, but...
Yeah.
Aren't they funded by the Cato? Aren't they funded by the Koch brothers?
Reason?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm going to look that up while you read some of this article. But the fact that they say Agnostic Front were a libertarian band, I've played with them. My band, the Beef People, played with them at Trax in Charlottesville, and they were like racist, nationalistic. America first. I mean, they have more in common with like Rush Limbaugh than they have in common with even Ron Paul, let alone, you know, any like true no government man. So go ahead and read some of this and I'll look up my claim that Reason may take money from Koch Brothers.
Okay. So yeah. So since we're talking about punk rock, I decided to look up some articles on, you know, punk rock and libertarianism.
Let me say this. When you search Reason magazine on Google and then type a K, it autofills Koch Brothers. So a lot of people search this. But I don't know if it's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I found this article because I was looking up, you know, libertarianism and punk rock, and it came up, A Brief History of Conservative and Libertarian Punk Rock. This is written by Damon Root, and it says, the heavy metal magazine Decibel recently announced a new inductee to the Decibel Hall of Fame, an honor reserved exclusively for extreme music's most important albums. That inductee was Cause for Alarm, the breakthrough 1986 album by the New York City band Agnostic Front. And then they said it's a good choice. Although Agnostic Front is best known for playing hardcore, a caustic musical offshoot of punk rock, on Cause for Alarm, the band added a massive dose of thrash metal to the mix. The resulting sound combined the best of both genres and left its mark on punks and headbangers alike. The record deserves the kudos. But Agnostic Front made more than just musical waves in its heyday. As Decibel notes, the band would also outrage PC talk hosts with its controversial lyrics. Foremost among those hosts was daytime kingpin Phil Donahue, an outspoken liberal who denounced the lyrical content of Public Assistance, a song where Agnostic Front attacked the welfare state.
Yeah, I remember they had a song about, like, you know, make people on welfare go clean the sewers. And, you know, I'm totally against welfare, but they were also really nationalistic, as I remember, right. Really like immigrants get out of my way kind of lyrics.
Yeah. The sample lyric for that from that song was Uncle Sam takes half my pay so you can live for free. And then nor was the band's only brush with political controversy. Was that the band's only brush with political controversy? In fact, Agnostic Front was at the center of a heated debate over whether right of center views should even be allowed in the 80s punk scene in the first place. For their part, Agnostic Front's members saw no crime in voicing the occasional word of support for Ronald Reagan's anti-communist foreign policy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't really think that they're libertarian. I don't know. This is not like the best representative article.
Yeah, that's let's see. NPR says that the Koch brothers fund Reason magazine.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
We're talking about punk rock, and you're listening to punk rock.
I dig it.
Yeah. And that was my band Right Arm of Wyoming doing a song called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector, which is far more of a dangerous thing to say in a song than any of the conservative stuff that Agnostic Front wrote about back in the day. You know, yeah.
I never would have listened to them back then. I couldn't stand Reagan or any of them, those guys.
Yeah. They were, when we opened up for them, it was actually two of my bands opened up for them. It was the Beef People and Baby Opaque. Beef People were a straight up punk rock band. And I'm not saying like Reason should be writing about me instead. No, like that's, you know, right on Wyoming. Like we pressed 1,000 copies and, you know, it wasn't a known band. So I wouldn't expect it to be in this article, but I certainly wouldn't expect someone to write an article about libertarian punk rock and only mention a conservative punk rock band and nobody else.
Right, until the very end. In the very last paragraph, he finally says, since we're talking about the politics of punk, allow me to leave you with my nominee for the greatest libertarian punk song. It's a number called Legalized Drugs by the great LA band Fear.
Yeah, I don't know. I would write more about the whole overall libertarian spirit of punk rock throughout the ages than I would about. There really weren't many libertarian punk rock bands. There weren't really any. There were a lot of ANCOM bands, anarcho-communist bands. Mm-hmm. But if you talked about, you know, we need to get rid of the government, replace it with true free market capitalism, you would have gotten yelled at or sliced back in the day.
Right. Yeah, because capitalism is a dirty word.
Yeah, it was. My cat is snoring, but that's kind of funny. I have to go over and pet her between breaks to keep her from snoring. This is just hers. But according to NPR, which I, you know, they are lefty as heck, but I consider them a reasonable resource. And they have a quote from Matt Welch of Reason Magazine saying that they are funded or were funded at some point by the Koch brothers. And, you know, the Koch brothers, everyone loves to hate them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that much about them.
They're just some big money business guys that own, you know, a big chunk of the industry in America. Mm-hmm. And liberals hate them because they like to fund, you know, anything that points towards small government. And liberals love big government. They think the government can provide for them when really the government's just a racket to steal for them, whether it's Democrats or Republicans in office. But I don't really know that I can say that I think the Koch brothers are evil, but I can say it's in liberty, it's kind of the kiss of death if someone says, oh, they're funded, but you know, like that's it, we get right. accused of it. I've been accused of it. I'm like, well, where's my check? You know, not that I would take money from them. I would probably take no strings attached money from them, but yeah. I wouldn't ask for it. And I'm not asking for it. And I can't imagine that they have any no strings attached money, but they tend to give to stuff that's like, they probably consider Reason like the hippest, freakiest thing they fund. Like they fund the Cato Institute too. And the Cato Institute is very, you know, like respectable and they wear ties and, you know, like they probably think Reason or they're freaky, the freakiest thing, you know, like, oh, Matt Welch wears a leather jacket. That's scary. You know,
Nick Lesby.
Yeah. Nick, what did I say?
You said Matt Welch.
That's another guy there though, too. Yeah. Okay. He's one of the main guys, Matt Welch and Nick Lesby. I wonder if Matt Welch is related to, here I am starting rumors again. No, I'm just asking questions. I wonder if Matt Welch is the grandson of Robert W. Welch, who founded the John Birch Society, which was, you know, and they were kind of like back in the day in the '50s, like, oh, they're horrible. Like, you know, Bob Dylan wrote a song called like Talking John Birch Society Blues or something. And it was like making fun of someone who's paranoid and thinks he sees communists everywhere because they were anti-communist. They were also, I mean, they're kind of square, but they were, and they're, you know, small government, Republican, conservative types, but they were the first people ever to publicly in a large way condemn the United Nations and say, this is a plot. This is globalism trying to take away Americans' freedoms, which I don't like the UN. And I pretty much agree with that, but, they were the first people to do it. So yeah, they're anti-communist. I like anyone who's anti-communist as long as you're not using bombs to achieve it.
Right. And as long as they're not, you know, pro democracy so that they can, you know, take away your other freedoms.
Well, what
freedoms that they don't like.
What people who say they're pro-democracy call democracy is usually nothing but it. I mean, you know, the U.S. takes out democratically elected leaders in other countries. And, you know, North Korea's full name includes the word Democratic People's Republic of.
Right. So yeah, it doesn't really mean anything.
It's just a coat people wear. It's not real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. It has come to my attention that you have a shaky grasp on the ideals of punk rock, because I'm twoo. Twoo!
Yeah, so I want to talk about my monitor before we go back to bashing punk rock. Or as someone accused me, probably correctly, on Face Beef yesterday, they said that I make subtle jabs in every show.
You can't help it.
I know. There's so much to jab.
I know.
And then people try to find stuff to yell at me about. And like, you know, all they can say is, you're dumb.
You're immature.
There's no ethical inconsistency in anything I say from like 1 year to the next. And there's no, you know, like I was complaining about people having bad gun safety in activist videos, and someone found like, well, here's proof that you used unsafe gun safety. And he posted like a clip from Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which is our movie from gunsandweed.com that I made with Nima Vidati. And there's a scene in there where Nima is pointing a rifle at a camera, and that would technically violate the rules of gun safety if it were not for the fact that it was not done in a public area. There was nobody behind the camera. And most importantly, that camera was that rifle was checked as empty 3 times each by 3 people. It was opened and shut and checked as empty 9 times before we even like waved it around, you know. And there's another scene where I actually I'm playing a bad cop and I'm arresting a hippie for growing weed. And, and I hold a gun to someone's head. And I'm not just making up the fact now because someone accused me of bad gun handling. I'm not just making up the fact that, oh, you know, yeah, we check it 9 times. I actually discussed it in an interview in 2011 on Claire Wolf's website.
It served a purpose for your movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so freaked out about gun safety that actually like pointing a gun at someone's head as an actor after it had been checked 9 times to be sure it was empty, still was like the weirdest thing I've ever done. I can't point a gun at someone. I mean, I'm not saying I could absolutely shoot someone in the chest 5 times if they were coming at me with a knife. No problem. No hesitation. But no, the thought of like pointing it at someone I like,
right.
Or, you know, yeah. I didn't even really know the guy, but pointing a gun at someone's head in my house. Yeah. I don't want to make a mistake there, man. There've been a few deaths on movie sets from that. One of the most famous was Brendan Lee in the movie died during the making of the movie, The Crow.
Oh yeah.
And it was something that should have been safe, but wasn't handled safely by the gun safety people making the film. mm-hmm. It was basically blanks, and blanks are not safe to fire at a person. They, you know, they can shoot out like chunks of paper or plastic, you know, the shell cap. It's something, you know, anything that can be inside, or it can even like drive the person's clothing into their body. And there was, right. There was another guy who wasn't very well known who died on a set by shooting himself in the head with a gun that had a blank in it. And he was kidding around. He was like, man, this is taking forever. You know, they were changing cameras or something. And he was like talking to some other actors and he was like, man, I could just shoot myself. And he picked up a prop gun that had a blank in it and held it to his temple and fired it. And, you know, it shoved a little piece of plastic from inside the blank, like the cap that keeps the powder
gosh.
In
yeah,
and killed him.
Wow.
Yep. So we're going to talk about punk rock. So, Oh, I was going to talk about my monitors, though. So I have three. I sent you a picture of me with my three monitors doing the show standing up. I kind of look
and they're
like,
all like at different levels. Yeah, and
I kind of look like a day trader for the NSA or something now with all these monitors. But actually, it's one computer with two monitors and then another computer with one monitor. The other computer is just running Skype to connect to you. But my main computer, I actually have a 34-inch diagonal, 34-inch flat-screen TV up on a table on top of my table. So it's like eye level when I stand. Mm-hmm. And then I have my other monitor, which I used to think was big, but now looks like I'm small next to this flat-screen TV.
I'm tiny.
I have that over to the right for sitting down and using. And I switch back and forth throughout the day between having it set up duplicate, so it's the same thing on both screens, or extended, mm-hmm. which is where you have, you know, you can drag something from one screen to the other and you can actually work right. on, like, you can edit a movie. You can edit a movie while watching another movie. It's pretty cool mm-hmm. if you're good enough to multitask with things like that. But I'm going to do a blog post on doing this. And it's actually, I've only been doing it 2 days, but it's like my back is already feeling better, because part of the reason my back was hurting, other than that I don't get a lot of exercise, and I've started walking on the treadmill a bit lately too, but and doing exercise stretching, but
the hamster wheel.
Yeah, the hamster wheel. But the real problem is just sitting in one place all day, every day, straight ahead. And when I have two different monitors, I tend to turn my head to the side and back and forth, so I get that motion. And then just also standing up for probably a quarter of the time I'm using a computer now, I'm standing up. And it's great for watching movies in the bedroom. I'm not talking about like ultra porn or anything on a big screen. I'm just talking about, like, you know, watching Netflix or something with the wife. Like, it used to be like, wow, we have this big computer screen. It's 20, you know, but now we got this giant screen in here. And it just looks funny, though. I'm going to do a blog post about it. And because I like to do blog posts on how to do things and improve your life on not a lot of money. And screens have gotten really cheap. I mean, you can get a flat screen, 34-inch diagonal TV screen now for, you know, like $200. And you can get like this big computer monitor I have now for like $100. I bought them a few years ago and probably paid more than that for them. But yeah, man, it's getting to the point. I've heard this, that except in, like, you know, in the ghetto where people will break in and steal anything they can get. When people break into houses these days, they really rarely steal flat screens because they're just not worth carrying.
Right.
Yeah, they want guns, jewelry, money, and pharmaceuticals. Yeah,
easily portable things and easily sold things.
Yeah, they like, I don't want a used flat screen. I'll steal the money and buy a new one. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but it's helping.
Small
it's
electronics, helping laptops, and stuff like that.
Yep, gone. Chrome robot turds. So let's talk about, have you read some of this letter. Now,
okay.
I talked before about how, like, you know, beefs about, like, that person's not real. They're not really a punk. They're not really a libertarian. They're mm-hmm. not really a day trader for the NSA. You know, they're not really a true kink person. Like,
no great Scotsman. Kind yeah. Of the no true great Scotsman.
And I've been accused of that too, because I've basically said, like, you know, certain people in Liberty, I think that, they're just kind of like, oh, I'll just do this because it's the hip thing and I can, you know. And you know how you can tell? You can look at, like, what people used to do. Like, look at certain mm-hmm. people that are, like, libertarian kind of rock stars right now that, like, look back and see if these people have been jumping on the bandwagon their whole life. Like, if maybe they were in a really crappy, goofy hip-hop band in the 80s. Yeah, things like that.
Things like that, right. Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas I've always been doing stuff that wasn't popular. I was doing punk. I was doing punk before it was popular, and I quit doing it when it started.
When it got popular.
Yeah. And I was doing digital filmmaking before anyone was doing it. And yeah, I'm true, man. I'm true. Twoo. I'm twoo. No, so
you're
okay.
Twoo.
I'm twoo. Okay, so I just wanted to read, for people who aren't into punk rock, I wanted to read this letter. Somebody posted this on my Face Beef. You know how on Face Beef, like, Davi and I recently discovered that people who aren't your friends can send you messages. And Davi and I both said, like, yeah, we discovered that and realized we had like 450, and not just spam, like 450 messages over the past couple of years of people who are like, Dear Michael Dean, I want you to look at this and read about it on your show. And like, I didn't even know these.
Oh, you're talking about the private messages?
Just if someone's not your, well, if someone posts to your page, if you have a page, not a, just mm-hmm. you, like the Freedom Fiends page, yeah. it goes over on the left in mm-hmm. small. And like, I never checked that. And I only got on there like two or three times a week now for like 10 minutes. But, so yeah. And then also like, yeah, the if someone's not your friend on there, I hate that they use that word friend, but if someone's not your Facebook friend and they send you a message, like it goes into this kind of spam folder that's hard to get to.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I finally like read that. And one of the emails was somebody sending me this article from Pittsburgh Punk, pittpunk.org, PITTPUNK.org, which is a Pittsburgh punk rock site. And he was like, Michael Dean, what do you think of this? And I'm like, I don't even know you, man. At least friend me and ask me, you know, but
right.
And you know, people basically assign things to you all the time on the internet now, especially if you do some kind of media, like a show, like you must watch this 90-minute documentary. Here's a link. And like, they don't even tell me a, you know, half line description of what it is. Just go watch it. I don't watch it.
you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah. So, there's this thing that goes back in punk rock to like, I remember this from like 1982, and it was people saying like, we must, the scene has too much sexism or blah, 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 or blah. Like basically yeah. like people who left society to start their own society and reject all the rules saying, okay, now we need rules.
Yeah.
And this is a letter that someone wrote recently. And I want to talk about it. You know, I'm seeing the names Ben Weasel from Screeching Weasel in here. I know that guy. And he was like the funniest, most un-PC guy in punk. I've stayed at his house. I actually got crabs at his house. Not from him or a woman, but from a bed in his house in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
oh,
Detroit or wherever it was. So he's a good guy. And he actually wrote a good novel after quitting his band. I think his band, I love the name of the band, Screeching Weasel. Mm-hmm. It just describes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Punk yeah. rock so well. It describes what parents thought punk rock was, but you know,
yeah.
now
sound like a bunch of screeching weasels.
That's probably how he got the name. All right, so go ahead and read. And I okay. would say Ben Weasel was like the most libertarian guy out there, but I don't think he wrote this. If he did, it's a parody of like real letters like this. But it says okay. update. Let's see. So there's a reply to it. In update 3, at the request of former members of Screeching Weasel, the image accompanying this article has been changed to something that may have those former members persecuted for their words and actions of Ben Foster. Okay, so I think there was a picture of the band, and they were like, we don't want to be associated with that.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. But I think that's a picture of Ben Weasel at the top there. I haven't seen him in 25 years, but...
Yeah,
so,
this guy looks pretty young. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, it might be an older yeah. picture of just him, though.
Yeah, so the article, it's called An Open Letter to Jerks in the Punk Scene. And it starts off, which I think is really...
But we're getting some punk rock here. That's our cue to...
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Atomic Punk. No, that was a Van yeah. Halen song. That's your new flavor of vape, though.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We'll be back.
Awesome.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow,
meow. All right, so we're talking about punk rock, but we're also talking about, in a more universal way, about how every scene has its own, like, we need to clean up this cesspool. You know, I would expect this is probably true with, you know, real estate seller, you know, realtors. I'm sure it's true with, you know, people who study Middle English versus late Middle English. You know, I think there's our little tiny dot of a cesspool is better than the other cesspools, and we need to make it not a cesspool. So
yeah,
I've experienced
that's what companies do when they establish policies.
Yeah. And everyone, you know, everyone
like, gotta do it this way.
And everyone groans.
Ugh. Right. More policies.
Yeah. And really, if you wanna make a living in this world and or spread an idea, you wanna make stuff that is so important to people that they can't help but share it. And that can't be faked. And that's what's wrong with a lot of, we like capitalism, but we don't like corporatism. And a lot of what's wrong with corporatism too, is that they try to fake it, man. They try to say, well, we'll hire this viral marketing thing. And it's like, you can't polish a turd, man. You can't make something people don't wanted. I guess you can, because there's, you know, I don't know, McDonald's doesn't make the best burger in the world and Coca-Cola is not the best drink in the world. But, you know, but if you want to do it, I mean, think about, and even when, like, when you make something great and then combine it with a good marketing, like, think about how people, like, line up and sleep overnight to get the next iPad.
And
if the government had started regulating computers early on, I mean, computers would still be the size of a university, a floor on a university, and no one would be able to afford them.
With lots of lights and beeping noises.
Yes, and they would need a team of scientists in lab coats to operate them. So.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, you and I were talking earlier before the show about something, you know, it was like cops versus pizza. Like, think about how happy people are when you order pizza, when the pizza guy comes to your house, think how happy you are.
And versus when a cop shows up.
Yeah. Even if you're like a law abiding, you know, I pay my taxes and I'm square and I work, you know, even if you're that guy, if a cop knocks on your door, you're not happy. It's not like getting a pizza at your door.
No, it's not. It's like, anytime somebody shows up at your door with a shiny badge, it's like my alarms go off immediately. Yeah, if I see a cop behind me, even if I'm not breaking any traffic laws, I get scared.
Yeah. And they want it that way. And they're at war with your mind. And, you know, be more like pizza and less like cops. That's my advice for anybody that wants to spread an idea. And that would even apply to punk rockers and libertarians. I think that's going to be the title of this show. More pizza, less cops.
Less cops.
All right. So go ahead and read this letter complaining about. And I just got to say, like, I've read 100 letters like this going back to 1982 that almost are identical without the word internet in them. So go ahead.
This first sentence just cracks me up, though. A specter is haunting the punkest corners of the internet. Message boards, blogs, and Facebook threads, high, low, and very, very low, are caught up in a war over words. The question of PC or not PC is becoming as cliche to punk rock as a big red mohawk and a safety pin through the nose. And yet, we keep coming back to it because unless punk stands for something, it stands for nothing and becomes a silly waste of time.
A big red mohawk and a safety pin through the nose hasn't been cliche for like 25 years. I'm wondering if the person who wrote this has even ever heard punk rock, but...
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, I keep making the mistake of getting into arguments with punks online. It's a real flaw in my character. I just can't seem to let it go, but nothing is going to change.
Because he thinks he's right. It's like all the people who argue with status on Facebook, man. I stopped arguing with status on Facebook and built a radio show that is on 34 syndicates right now. So, if I hadn't stopped arguing with people on Facebook 4 years ago, I'd still be just arguing with people on Facebook.
I mean, you can argue till you're red in the face with somebody who is, you know, who is standing very firm in their views, and it's just not going to go change. Take them anywhere. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're just wasting your breath. And so he says, but nothing is going to change, which is probably true if you keep arguing with people. He says, I guess I should admit that I'm not even trying to educate or debate anymore. I'm just looking to tell these sexist, homophobic, anti-PC punks that I think they suck.
Yeah. And, you know, the kind of thing is, too, like, punk rock never had a defined ethic, and libertarianism does. It's the non-aggression principle. And then so people just argue over what's a violation of it or not. And the people who speak the loudest about it, about we must have the non-aggression principle as our core founding principle, those are the people that, like, sue people to get their, you know, like, end up, like, filing DMCA claims and threatening to send armed assassins to people for making crank phone calls, man.
Yeah.
The people... You know, it's like they say in AA, don't tell them you're sober, show them you're sober. Don't say, I am the most libertarian, non-aggression principle guy of all, because it'll come back to bite you in the butt. Just
right.
Be that guy. Be that girl. Yep. Be that gal. We'll be back.
Be the change.
We'll be back. Hour two of the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. Punk.
Arrgh. Punk rock. Punk rock. Punk.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. Trueshibes.com.
Freedom Fiends. So, Diana.
Hey.
I found this. I'm going to call this episode More Punk Rock, More Pizza, Less Cops.
Yeah. And,
I found this picture. It's an ad from, like, I don't know, looks like the late 70s for an ABC after school special called The Day My Kid Went Punk. And it's a father and son sitting down at the dinner table with the family next to them. And the kid has a like, you know, mall mohawk and, you know, ripped off shirt. Looks like a fashion punk and
mall mohawk.
Yeah. And I photoshopped a piece of pizza into his hand just because I liked it so badly. Photoshopped it badly because that's punk, man. Because, you know, we used to make fanzines and there wasn't Photoshop. And, like, we had to actually put, like, you know, they say, like, paste up. Like, you do your paste up with Photoshop. No, we actually used paste. We used, like, X-Acto knives and paste.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, went to the library and ran off 10 copies of it and handed them out at shows. That was my start.
That sounds like fun.
I actually did that when I was 12. I was doing it with stuff I photocopied from the Abby Hoffman book, Steal This Book. But I don't recommend that book anymore. It's ANCOM. I don't like ANCOM.
Don't like those people.
I don't hate those people. I just think they don't get it right. And they think they're TWU.
TWU.
They think they're the TWU anarchists. They're not. They want, I mean, how are they going to redistribute my wealth if I don't want them to and I own a gun?
They can do it amongst themselves.
There you go. Yeah. But they don't have much to redistribute. You know, there's actually rewatching this show called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. You ever seen it?
Sounds familiar.
Oh, I do want to say Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink.
Yes.
I say that once an hour. But Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip is an Aaron Sorkin show that ran one season, like, you know, 15 episodes or something. It's some of the best TV ever made. It failed. It did not get renewed because it was at the same time that 30 Rock was running and had the same premise. It was basically like comedy about the backstage of the crew of something like Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. You know, people, and 30 Rock's pretty smart for TV comedy, but this was way smarter. It was Aaron Sorkin, the guy that does The Newsroom.
Right. I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's probably have to find it on the torrents or something. You can get it on DVDs on Netflix. And, you know, they're encouraging piracy when they don't put stuff up streaming automatically because, you know, everyone's motto these days is just media now.
Right. Exactly. Download it.
Yeah. So the day my kid went punk. Yeah, but check it out, man. It's really good. But there's one episode in there. This isn't really a spoiler alert because no one's going to go watch the greatest show ever made. It's too smart for most people. But there's one where, you know, it takes place in LA, and one of the stars on this fictitious show, it's like Saturday Night Live, gets arrested and ends up like getting extradited to Pahrump, Nevada. And they keep joking about like Pahrump. Is Tom being held in jail in a Marx Brothers movie? Like they just can't get over the silly name Pahrump, which is a real
town. Is there really a real
yeah,
town?
Yeah, in it's Nevada? Outside of Vegas. That's where all the ladies of the night cat houses are. Because you can't do that in Vegas. You have to go outside town to do it. So, yeah, but they take the private jet to go try to bail him out of get the attorneys to get him out of jail in Pahrump. And John Goodman plays the judge in that episode, and he's hilarious.
I love him so much.
I love everything he does. He plays a real conservative redneck, like hard butt judge in this, but I still love his performance. He's great. And someone asks one of the actors, like, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm on a private jet with the cast of a Fellini movie on the way to Pahrump. You know, it's like, I mean, they've got like, you know, the guy who's arrested was dressed as Jesus when he was arrested. You know, they got their like their kind of Tracy Morgan kind of sidekick on the show with them. And then they've got like the president of the network. And then they've got what is described. It's this Chinese businessman that's trying to do business with the parent company. And he says, yeah, and a teenage cello prodigy and the only communist billionaire in the world. And that does sound like the set of the cast of a Fellini movie. The only communist billionaire in the world. So yeah. People with that much money generally don't want to redistribute it. So yeah. We're going to talk about punk rock. We're gonna read this letter. You started reading. We're going to finish reading this letter. This is like one of, you know, there have been 1,000 of these printed in punk rock magazines, probably a lot more now that I don't really go to punk rock websites, but I used to read Maximum Rock and Roll, which was kind of like the monthly published magazine that was, you know, it had a wide readership of like 50,000 or something, maybe around the world. Mm-hmm. It was printed on like toilet paper, thin paper. It was like news, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. But we used to use that to get phone numbers to book our bands. We'd call up and, hey, who's booking shows in Pahrump now, you know? So go ahead and read some more of this letter. We're just trying to illustrate how every scene ever has had its art. And this letter reminds me a lot of the letter that Jeffrey Tucker wrote decrying brutalism.
Right, yeah. And it starts off, you know, kind of in a tirade about, you know, non-purist punks or anti-PC punks. And so he goes on to say, in an effort to save myself some time and frustration, I've decided to simply write an open letter. So we haven't even gotten to the letter yet. Right. To all the punks out there who don't think that punk rock as a movement needs to hold itself and its community accountable for the kind of garbage that keeps coming up from men's rights crybabies, macho he-man woman haters.
Oh, so that's the same thing in punk rock. Huh? People in punk rock are concerned, like, it's getting infiltrated by the men's rights movement.
Michael?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm absolutely here. Can you still hear me? Yeah. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Hello, 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 hello. I'm going to call her right back.
I can hear you now. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it was the internet. I blame the government. So go ahead.
He talks about men's rights crybabies, and you started to say something, the macho he-man woman haters, conservative bigots.
That thing comes up in punk rock too. And I really wish in libertarianism too, I really wish the libertarians that are screeching the loudest about that would just go do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like
this guy, like, but I don't feel like punk rock, I don't feel like libertarianism is going to fall apart, you know,
right,
if that doesn't happen.
And he calls the rest of them general scumbags.
Oh, man.
Certain company. And then he says, it is my hope to you, the reader, that you, the reader, have found yourself equally frustrated with the lack of any real ethics or integrity coming out of certain self-described punks who think that discrimination and hate speech are okay under any circumstances, let alone okay within punk rock. So if you feel this way and are also tired of wasting your time arguing online, but you just can't stand the thought of saying nothing to them at all, I invite you to simply share the link to this post or to simply copy and paste the following anonymous open letter.
They'll read it and see the light, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. And he withholds his name from the whole thing.
I think, if you're not willing to put your name on something, nobody should listen to you.
Yeah. And the letter, the way it goes is, it says, "Dear person on the internet, it has come to my attention that you have a shaky grasp on the ideals of punk rock, a movement which you claim to be a part of. You have made it clear through your choice of words and or the views which you have expressed that you have no place within punk rock. It is possible that you simply typed without thinking, that you are truly ignorant of the concepts of equality and respect and community that should define punk as a movement and a culture, or that you are just trying to get a rise out of people by being offensive for the sake of being offensive. Either way, the time for excuses is over. Consider this your resignation from all things meaningful and relevant to the world of punk rock."
Wow. So they're like kicking these people out of punk rock.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like they can. Yeah.
"Now you may ask me, what right do I have to remove you from punk rock? Who am I to tell you that you do not belong here? I am glad you asked. I am someone who believes that we live in a broken system, one where the loud and the selfish think it is their right to make others feel powerless."
Me. "Nobody likes my crappy band. I'll write a firmly worded letter to the editor, but not sign it."
"But not sign it. I am anonymous. I am someone who knows that while there are still those being oppressed, be it sexually, physically, or ideologically, simply to keep the status quo
in power." I got to put an asterisk on my, nobody should listen to anyone who doesn't sign their name to something. I would say if it's legal. I could see not signing your name to something that's illegal, where you're going to get thrown in a cage for putting your name to it. But all you're going to get for this is ridicule. No one would even beat this guy up. They would just make fun of him.
Yeah.
And if you can't sign your name to that, you don't have enough convictions to tell people what their convictions should be.
Right. And it's just, I don't know. It's like,
And I am Michael Dean. I said at the beginning of the show that my name's not important. No, I was kidding. My name is Michael W. Dean. All right, go on.
And he says he's someone who believes in freedom. And I am someone who speaks out against bullies, trolls, bigots, and anyone else who feels like their freedom of speech means they are allowed to abuse the rights of another person, be it the right to feeling safe, the right to feeling accepted, the right to be who they are. You have every right to be who you are.
Well, I agree with all that, but people who like make anonymous stands on this generally are like, I just laugh at them.
Yeah, and if you feeling accepted is dependent upon other people not offending you, then you have a pretty shaky sense of self-acceptance, I think. Yeah.
I think so too.
If you have every right to be who you are, but when who you are is someone who threatens someone else on however subconscious a level, your right to belong is superseded by the rights of people who are looking to the scene as a safe place and a place in this world where like-minded individuals can come together.
This guy sounds like he wants to start a government inside punk rock.
I know.
Who's going to enforce this?
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny to me is this, this could very well be written by someone who is offended by some of the ideas of libertarianism.
Oh, that's why I wanted to bring this up entirely. Because the same thing is happening in, liberty.
Yeah. It's like you can find like-minded.
And Jeff Tucker, and I like Jeff Tucker overall, but Jeff Tucker, I'm not a fan. I don't read his stuff, but I like that he exists. Is that one of those subtle jabs the guy was talking about? There's people I just wish would dry up and blow away. Stefan Molyneux, Chris Cantwell, there's a few others. But Jeff Tucker, I'm like, yeah, I guess he's okay. He exists. Sure, why not? But but he was a coward. He signed his name to his treatise like this, but he was like talking about individual people, including Chris Cantwell, and didn't name them. I'm kind of with Cantwell on that, although on the silliness of calling people out anonymously for being brutalist.
I don't like the whole, no true Scots.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget?
Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Freedom Fiends. So, yeah, I talked about how I was using. Three monitors now, two monitors on one computer at different levels, like one's for sitting and one's for standing. They're next to each other, but I can, you know, do the Windows and then a P, which brings up the thing to choose which, you know, whether it's a duplicate on each monitor or it goes from one to the other.
Yeah.
But I didn't mention, I also have two keyboards and two mouses now, one nice. Up on the standing table and one down on the sitting table. And I've ordered, and you know, people send money as donations and they're like, why are you spending this on luxuries? No, I'm spending this on like stuff so my back doesn't ache constantly so I can not quit doing this show. I ordered a wireless mouse and a wireless keyboard so I can like also, you know, move around the room too, like go sit somewhere else or stand up against a wall and do it vertically. I don't know. Just it'll give me more options for not sitting in one place over and over and over and wrecking my back. So we're talking about two punk rockers, a demand that some anonymous coward made of punk. So continue reading the letter, please.
Okay, I will do that. So he talks about how in the letter he says, "I am someone," or this is a
from "I am someone." Someone. That's all. Someone who, yeah. That's all he's trying to say. No one likes me, and I am someone.
I am someone. No matter what you say, I am someone who believes that there is infinite power in words. I am someone who understands that if a word is offensive to someone else, that word should not be used.
You know, I just realized, like it. I can't not point out when people are ridiculous. And I said in passing, like, yeah, there's some people I wish would dry up and blow away, like Stephen Molyneux and Chris Cantwell. I'm wondering, like, are either of them going to get mad at that? And I don't care, but can you really get mad at someone who uses like jaded, like 1950s angry teenager slang? I wish you would just dry up and blow away. All right, go on.
Take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah.
You right. Meanie.
I just wish they would both go join completely only do the men's rights movement. That's where those two guys belong.
Your lazy vocabulary does not outweigh someone else's right to not have to be subjected to the slurs that are to them.
I bet this guy is actually like upset if people say like, oh, you fag, like when they're not even homophobic, you know, like yeah. He probably thinks that's homophobic.
Right. Yeah. It's just
what
like,
a fag.
Don't you dare like utter a single word that might possibly be offensive to someone.
Yeah.
Really? You know, it's just,
I don't do that, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just silliness.
Yeah.
And then, so if you think that your words are just words and you are admitting that you think that what you say has no value, if that is your belief, then I am someone.
If this guy's words have value, why doesn't he sign his name to it?
Then I am someone who wholeheartedly agrees with you. What you say means nothing and is irrelevant to any conversation. Well, if it's irrelevant and it means nothing, then why do you care?
I know. I think this guy wrote this while crying.
Probably.
In his bedroom. Yeah, in his parents' basement.
It's really long, and at the, you know, and it just kind of goes.
Did you want to skip to like sum anything up in it, or skip to the rebuttal, which you like better?
He just pretty much says the same thing over and over again, like, you know, saying, you know, I've heard every defense of how PC punks are too sensitive, how feminists are too extreme, how racial minorities and people of the LGBTQ, ABCDEFG community are protected and privileged class.
Yeah, that was un-PC. I like that. That was awesome, Diana.
And I reject them all, every single one. You know, I don't know. It's just silly. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. So they are, words do have power. I agree with that. But if you allow
these words,
these
anonymous words have no power to me.
No, they have no power. They're stupid.
Stupid.
Just straight
up
stupid.
He's dumb. And yeah, he'd probably say, well, you're marginalizing my right to anonymously be anonymous.
And I mean, and he kind of says it all when he says what you say means nothing and is irrelevant to any conversation. Yeah, and should be ignored as a waste of time and removed. Well, okay, so why are they should they be removed if they're ignored and a waste of time?
What he's really saying there is, I want people to marginalize your marginalizing words.
Yeah, I want you to be censored.
He's basically saying, I want my big brother to beat you up, but he doesn't have a big brother.
So yeah, if you don't like what other people have to say in your particular movement, just ignore them and listen to somebody who does say something.
And I want to make it clear, I am not making a case strongly or weakly that people should be racist. I'm not. Racism really turns me off. Sexism turns me off. You know, misogyny turns me off. Ultra feminists, you know, using the state to beat up on men and falsely claim this or that about them irks me. All of that irks me off. But yeah, I don't think this is the answer. Is writing. We need rules in our ruleless environment.
Right. Yeah. And the last thing the letter says is, you will never be a punk.
This kid lives in his mother's basement.
Yeah.
I know it.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily wrestle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience drop blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Yeah. So we're complaining about punk rockers complaining that other punk rockers complain or something.
Yeah, that they're not doing it right.
You're not twoo.
You're not twoo like me.
Yeah, see, as whereas like I would never write an open letter to Liberty saying, I believe that things like Jeffrey Tucker did. I'd say like, I'm going to name names. Here are the names and here's what I don't like about them. And here's why people should ignore them.
Yeah, you pretty much have done that.
Somebody sent a donation to Stefan Molyneux the other day and said, I'm sending you this because the Freedom Fiends don't like you. So I'm sending you more money and I think you should debate them. And the guy posted to me, like at me, like, here's the reply.
Oh, wow.
Not Molyneux. The guy who made the donation posted a reply to me saying that it was Molyneux, allegedly. I don't think he answers his own mail. I think Mike does or the other guy does. But, I mean, that's why he has henchmen, right? But he posted back saying, the guy wrote him and said, you should debate Michael Dean because, you know, he says you're bad or whatever. And Molyneux wrote back. He got an email back signed by Molyneux. I don't think Molyneux wrote it saying, well, I'll have Mike look into this. And I'm like, that's written by someone who doesn't know who the Freedom Fiends are. Stefan Molyneux is painfully aware who the Freedom Fiends are because I've interviewed him and I know his email, his IP address, because I've had email exchanges with him and he does not use a VPN. And he looks at every show that the Freedom Fiends put up that have his name in the show notes. So, yeah, it, you know,
no doubt.
If he got an email back saying, oh, the Freedom Fiends, eh? I'll have Mike look into this. That's either Mike acting like he's Molyneux and signing things for Molyneux with Molyneux's consent.
He probably is looking for any like litigation possibilities.
What do you mean?
Just if he sees his name, like whether or not he can, you know, like you know, hire the guns kind of thing.
There's nothing to hire. There's nothing with me to hire the guns on.
Oh, I know. I know. That's what I'm saying. He's just probably looking for that.
No, I don't think he's looking for that. I think he writes back to donators whatever he thinks they want to hear.
No, I mean, if he's looking for shows that have his name in the show notes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's threatened to sue anybody who says he's a cult, but I don't see it happening because that would involve him having to go in a court of law and prove he's not running a cult, which I don't know if that would go well for him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because, you know, you'd have to hire experts in cultology. And there are people who do that, who like testify. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at their website, they're like, yes, we are available to testify. We have testified in court about many cult related and like, you know, there's about seven or eight of those people. And four or five of them have a Stefan Molyneux page on their website about why they think he's running a cult. So,
yeah.
All right. So
enough of that.
But yeah, I'm just pointing out, like, I'm not writing a letter to the scene and signing it anonymously. I'm saying like, yeah, here's the deal. Okay. So, read the reply that this anonymous coward got. Who's the reply from? Is it from Ben Weasel?
It doesn't say who it's from. The last sentence in the rebuttal says Screeching Weasel kicks butt, by the way.
Screeching Weasel have been around forever, and they were the un-PC-est punk rock band there were, but they were not racist. They were not sexist. They were not any of that stuff, but they were funny and they weren't afraid to, you know, irk other punks. Their whole purpose was to irk other punks. And they, you know, never probably played a room bigger than 300 people and probably generally played to about 100 people going back to the 80s. But Green Day had them open up for them on a big stadium tour just to irk punks. It was pretty funny.
So the rebuttal is entitled PC Punks Are Thought Police. I like that. Yeah. When I saw yesterday's article, an open letter to the former article used to be called an open letter to anti-PC punks and hardcore kids on this site, I was taken aback. In this essay, the author's argument boils down to, if I don't like what you're saying, you have no right to identify as punk rock.
Yeah.
That's bull crap. And here's why. Punk rock and hardcore were never about left-wing politics or creating safe spaces for everyone. Punk rock and hardcore were about lifting a giant middle finger to the establishment and to anyone who would try to police our music, art, and most importantly, our speech. Telling someone that they aren't punk because they say certain words is about the most unpunk thing that you can do. Bands in the 80s used swastikas in their artwork. That didn't make them Nazis. It meant that they wanted to irk someone off.
Well, or they were like, you know, like Nazi punks F off was a song by the Dead Kennedys. And the cover of that record was a swastika with a red line through it. And I remember they had punk on the Phil Donahue show one time back in the early 80s. And, you know, they had some punks on there. And this lady like stood up and started screaming at one of the kids on stage because he had the Nazi punks F off armband, which was a swastika with a red line through it. And she said, "My parents died in the Holocaust. You can't wear that." And he's like, "It's anti-Nazi. Look at it." And she's like, "I don't care what it is. It's a swastika."
Oh, my gosh. That might have been the same one that Agnostic Front was on.
Were they on
the Phil Donahue show? Yeah, they were on Donahue.
Yeah, there was a time when like all those talk shows back on TV in the day had a punk episode. My favorite, though, was Gigi Allen on Geraldo. That was pretty awesome.
I'll have to like look that one up. And then it says that if punk is about destroying establishments, it should destroy all establishments, including the left-wing commie groupthink that's grown out of bands like Anti-Flag and NOFX.
NOFX
is God, a band who has traditionally been the furthest thing from PC. Bullcrap bullcrap punk voter campaign in 2004.
Yeah, that was really sad. It was like, you know, punk rock used to be anarchist, at least ANCOM. This guy, Fat Mike, he started this thing called Punk Voter back in the day and tried to get people to vote for Obama because, you know, George Bush was horrible. So a Democrat is going to be better, you know, as that kind right. of logic. Yeah. Stupid. I think this is written by Ben Weasel. His picture's at the I think that's his picture and there's a mention of him and this sounds like him. So go on.
And I like this the best. So my take on all of this is you're punk if you say that you are. You're a hardcore kid.
It's like AA.
Yeah. You're a hardcore kid if you say that you are. The things you agree with or don't agree with are completely irrelevant. Who you vote for is completely irrelevant. Don't bash gay people for being gay or black people for being black.
I'll say this. I struggled for years. I wouldn't say struggled, you know, not like to make it, but played in punk rock bands for years, sleeping on couches and floors for gas money, including Ben Weasel's couch where I caught crabs sleeping alone on his couch. And, you know, all the people we reached of like that band was together from like 93, no, like 86 to 93. We're reaching more people right now sitting in these chairs in our houses than I did probably the whole career of that band. It was tough, man. It was tough.
Yeah. And then the final thing he says is bash the types of thought police in your own scene that would tell you that you don't belong because you use words that offend their delicate punk rock sensitivities.
My feels. You hurt my feels.
My feels. I have no problem.
I don't see my thing about like the brutalism thing is like, I have no problem with people saying words that might hurt someone's feels in general. I don't like when people target people specifically. I think that the brutalism thing that Cantwell and people who like him took up as a banner, I think it's really what it is basically like good old fashioned macho libertarian flash, which is the opposite of the bow tie libertarianism. It's basically like, yeah, I open carry. Yeah, I think people should be able to buy heroin in vending machines. But with some gentlemanliness to it. And I guess, you know, Cantwell would probably say like, I'm being like this whiny guy in this letter, but I'm not like that because I'm not saying anonymously. First of all, I'm using my real name. And second of all, like I point out specific things. Like I think Cantwell is a whiny attention hoe who needs, you know, like needs to be the center of attention. And I think it's really ugly the way he like trumpets his trumped up Alexa rankings, which, you know, he's manipulating by having 10 or 20 people running the Alexa toolbar and he's using sock puppets. I've figured out who his sock puppets are on his site. And I mentioned it and he blocked me like the guy who says never block anybody because it brings more traffic to your site. He blocked me because I pointed out his game. That kind of game is really sad and small. I really believe that. But, you know, I agree with him fully on like the extent of the non-aggression principle doesn't end at a set line where most people think it might end. I agree with him that, you know, you don't want to work through the system and be polite and have to do this and that. But I just think like he's added this frat boy kind of like mean component to it. And I'll call him out for being a bully and then he'll block me. He won't like yell back at me. He'll bully at people who get upset and go, nah, and scream at him because that's what he wants because... You know, that's like the same. I don't think he ever probably tortured animals, but it reminds me of like kids I knew that tortured animals. You know, they want to see something squirm. And I think that's really ugly, like wanting to make, you know, people squirm because they're more square than you. I think that's really ugly, like specific people, like he targets specific people. But then when I go after him, like he blocks me. That's his response. So, yeah,
he can dish it out, but can't take
exactly.
it. Apparently.
Exactly.
Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Molyneux can dish it out. And then when someone like points out his fallacies, he maybe fraudulently, if that, you know, if that's what the court decides about that, that whole thing that court, you know, he's getting his butt dragged into court. Mike DeMarco's already been served and they're going to find Molyneux and serve him. And I'm not like, woo, the courts are going to bang. My big brother's going to beat you up. But I'm kind of like live by the state, die by the state, man. You know,
yeah.
If you use, you know, false DMCAs or possibly false DMCAs to try to silence critique, like valid critique, you know, don't be surprised when someone who's not necessarily a libertarian drags you into court. You know, everybody bullies on the internet. A lot of people get bullied on the internet. It's very rare for someone to actually like do something back. You know, people always say, I'm going to have my assassins hunt you down like Jeff Berwick or, you know, people say, well, I'm going to sue you. Many threaten to sue and few sue. And I think it couldn't happen to a nicer guy than Molyneux. So go on.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, the last thing is, you know, screaming weasel kicks butt.
Screeching weasel.
I'm sorry, screeching. I'm getting all of this wrong. I'm getting like N-O-F-X, like a big nerd.
You didn't know these guys well enough to like get crabs sleeping alone on their couch. I did.
Yeah, I mean, so screeching weasels. Yeah, that's pretty much the last of it.
It's got to be Ben Weasel if he signs it like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But then there's all these comments that are saying like, oh, that's not a good rebuttal, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, forget those people. Yeah. Hey, I want to welcome a new station. It's Dave FM in Manila, Philippines, 99.1 FM. We are out of the country now. It's cool, man. I dig it. Thanks, Dave FM.
Filipinos.
Woo. Yeah, man. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah, it was when he was in my threat.
And furthermore, I used to be somebody.
You're still someone, Michael.
All right, so Freedom Fiends. So we didn't even talk about the movie. We're going to do the Redemption Third Act and talk about the movie Another State of Mind.
Yeah.
It's a 1983 movie about the ill-fated tour with Youth Brigade and what's the Mommy's Little Monster Band? Yeah, Social Distortion.
Social Distortion, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And the better youth organization had a bus and it was falling apart from the first gig. Now, here's the funny thing. Like the first time I saw that movie, it was in somewhere in Oregon, some tiny little town in Oregon, on our first tour, our first nationwide tour, and our van was broken down. Broke down after the show, and our roadie was trying to fix it, and our host, this punk rock dude we're staying with, was like, he kind of laughed, and he said, here, you got some time to kill, watch a movie. And he put this movie in and brought us beers and pizza. He ordered a pizza, paid for it. Good host.
He actually had a VCR. He must have been rich.
Yeah, back in the day for a punk. But he was kind of tormenting us. He was like, oh, you're on tour and your van broke down? Watch this. And it's just, it's basically this movie about, you know, they say conflict is the essence of drama. In that case, this is a good movie because it's real. It's not scripted. It's a documentary. And it's a bunch of punk rockers who start out on day one like, yeah, man, unity. Do it for the kids. We're all in this together. We're the kids. The kids united. And by the end of it, they're like ready to kill each other and taking buses and planes back home separately. Like,
to get away from each other.
You guys are horrible.
Yeah, but they spent a total of 3 weeks together in this modified school bus.
Yeah.
That first of all is tiny, and I think there were 11 of them in the school bus. Yeah. It's like a short bus.
The punk rock short bus. Yeah. That's going in the show notes. All right, go on.
And then I think it breaks down in DC or something.
It's
and
on
then
YouTube.
Some of them
I'll
leave
link it.
And,
it's you can watch it free on YouTube in really low def. It's like that's even punk too. It's like the encode of it on YouTube is like what looks far worse than the VHS tape it was taken from. It's probably like an eighth generation VHS tape, badly encoded.
Yeah, it's really good. It really brought back. I'm sitting here thinking how old I am now, and the kids they show are like they were my age at that time. So yeah. It was like it really took me back to what I was like at that age, and that, you know, the things that those kids said with, you know, word for word would have been exactly how I would have put my life.
Yeah.
You know, that I just, you know, I felt different and I felt like I didn't fit in, like, and I didn't want to fit in. I didn't want to fit into the prep scene.
There was a lot of whining in there though, too. There was that one kid, that really pretty boy who kind of like, you know, looked like a movie star or something. You know, the one I'm talking about? He had kind of like David Bowie-ish haircut from back then, who was like, he was really smart. But he was saying the stupidest stuff. He was like, yeah, man, you know, I don't want to be part of this like 2.2 children American dream, going to church having a 9-to-5 job and being part of the military industrial complex, man.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how I felt, though.
Yeah, but I probably like said things like that, too. But yeah. I look back and I'm like, ugh.
I know. Yeah. It was kind of like, it was a feeling of nostalgia and also sort of pity. And at the same time, it was like, I can't, you know, just thinking about it.
I slept with that girl, Becca, one of the Flock of Seagulls haircut. I can't remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe.
Wow. You're not talking about the goth chick, are you? Or the one with the...
Oh,
the,
you were impressed. Oh. No, not her. But the girl, that's Valerie. I know Valerie from DC and San Francisco and LA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know her well, but we went to, let's just say the same type of meetings.
Okay. Yeah. So you're talking about the little girl with the blonde hair that's kind of the flock of seagulls.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
She was like in high school or something.
Not when I knew. No.
Okay.
No, I had a strict limit of legal. All right. So moving right along.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was really good. You know, I it was definitely I like the ethos of it in a way. And I think there is sort of an ethos to punk. You know, it's definitely anti-authority, and I still have a little bit of that punk ideal kind of, you know, that's
well, I think that this
there,
the way
as old as I am.
The way we're doing this radio show is very punk, you know. And we're kind of like on the indie label of networks, and I like it.
It definitely appeals to my rebellious side.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
Like the Clash said, we put up some blankets so the microphones would understand. that's a line from something. All right, man. It's been a great show. It's been a weird show. It's been
fun. I love talking about this stuff.
It's been all tangents all the time on the Freedom Fiends. Thank you, Diana.
That's the Fiends. Thank you, Michael.
Worms. Thank you.
Worms.
Mew.
Meow.
Meow.
Punk rock.
Punk. Punk me, baby, all night long. That'd be a
slam
good
slam dance. Mosh.
Hot topic.
Hot topic.
Burn down, burn down, burn down the hot topic. No, don't do that.
Don't do that. Please don't do that.